Coming to you direct from the nerve center of the galaxy's greatest comic. This is the 2000 AD Thrillcast.
Borag Thung, Earthlets, and welcome to the latest episode of the 2000 AD Thrillcast. I am your host, Mulch R. It's a bit of a short one this week because we are absolute optical sensor deep in organising the Galaxy's Greatest, which is the free online two-day convention on the 26th and 27th of March. It's going to be over 20 hours of panels with some absolutely incredible names, not just from the worlds of 2000 AD and comics, but also celebrities, politicians. So if there's slowly steam rising from my ears, I apologize right now, Earthlets. It should be a fantastic event. You'll be able to watch it live on you'll be able to watch it streaming on Twitch, Facebook, and YouTube. There'll be prints going live over the course of the event. Some cool merchandise to tie into it, all celebrating not just the comic, not just the people who work on the comic, but also its wider impact. So, you know, former fans, people who've worked in it, people who appreciate and understand the wider impact that the comic has had. Being online, it gives the opportunity to broaden things out. The guests that we've announced so far have been fantastic. So go along to 2000ad.com/45 years. That's 4 5 years. Check that out and hope to see you online over the course of that weekend. On this episode, we're talking about Intestinauts, which is the occasional series of stories about the teeny tiny little robots that go inside your gut and fend off parasites and the like, created by Arthur Wyatt and Pye Parr. Now, the original story for this was, 2013? So they've been around for quite a long time. There was the symbiotic love triangle story. They were in the 2018 Free Comic Book Day issue, and then there was a three-parter a while ago now. But they're back in 2000 AD pretty soon. So I thought I'd get Pi and Arthur on the line to just explain a little bit about why poop is such an enduringly funny thing. A through line through human civilization. Now, it's a sober examination of how fecal matter runs through human history like a sewer. So lots of fun and games, but it was a relatively short episode, but we shall be back in 2 weeks' time. We'll be bringing you more from the Galaxy's Greatest. There's at least one interview which we won't be able to compress down into a single hour. So you listeners to the Thrillcast will be getting the extended version of that. Without much further ado, let's crack on as always and hear from Arthur and Pi. And we shall hopefully see you in a week and a half for the Galaxy's Greatest. In the meantime, look after yourselves and splendid birthday, Earthlets.
Yeah.
So Intestinauts is one of those stories that I'll be honest with you, Arthur, we talked privately about this. I think Pi, you'd mentioned some stuff way back in the midst of time. I guess I'd describe it as a bit of a sleeper hit.
Right.
In that, it's one of those ones where was it a thriller or a future shot?
No, it was like a 4-page future shot with just a tiny little thing.
We're going to do 5. We got argued down.
Right, really? Tharg knows best.
Yeah.
But it's kind of continued and when it does appear, the response is good. Tell us a little bit about how the strip came to be. What was the genesis of the idea of Intestinauts?
I think we've talked about this before, actually, but yeah, it's quite... me and Arthur were talking on Twitter, I think, many years ago. I think I tweeted something about my wife was working away at the time. So I had a combination of, I don't know, many world foods on one plate, some of which potentially have been reheated at least once before.
Yeah, I think a goat curry was mentioned. I don't know. I may have just filled in that detail.
Yeah, it was like goat curry with some leftover noodles and then, you know, I just all sorts of, just everything in one. And I didn't die, but, yeah, we were like talking about how I might. and, yeah, Arthur said intestine ops. And then we sort of, I think you had the title almost. That was the first thing. Yeah. Just a joke.
That everything came from that. Like intestine ops, well, they'd be tiny robots. There you go. And then we did this first story as... Did you pitch Matt directly on that?
I can't remember.
I think
remember.
You might have been in the office at the time.
Yeah, yeah. I was sat next to him when you sent it in. So I was, you know...
that's always quite handy when pitching an idea to an editor.
It's a very good pitching method.
Nice bit of nepotism. It didn't help much.
Yeah. And the story, the first one is... It's basically the generic default intestinals story in whole. So you get intestinals, they're tiny robots in a pill. You take them if you've had too many world or interplanetary foods and have a need for having your guts sorted out and any additional weird alien parasites removed. They go through your gut, they reach the end, they hit the big flush, which they're ecstatic to get to because they like to fling themselves to their doom. And then they get kind of reincarnated after being uploaded and inserted into new bodies. Though, yeah, it's still, every mission is still kind of a suicide mission. So that's like the generic story. And then everyone we've done since then has been kind of progressively sillier and weirder and further from that.
Yeah, and I it's one of those things where seemingly every mission is not the normal one. Like, they never work, you know? Yeah.
They are not used as directed.
No.
I was talking to a friend recently who's a historian, and it's his conclusion that... the thing that unifies all human experience, the thing that runs through, quite literally, through human history and human civilization, is poop. And so therefore, all stories are deep down, essentially, in one way or another, about poop. And so I feel that you two are tapping into, like, deep, ancient historical current, you know, tracing back to the Roman Republic, and also, you know, that this is literature. This is truly literature.
That's how I feel, actually. Yeah, absolutely.
we're in the middle of a plague right now. And what do plagues mean? And historically, new sewage systems. That's the thing that has resulted from them. So big time for sewers, big time for sewer bound robots.
Because, of course, one of the ways they're tracking the pandemic is basically how much virus is turning up in sewage.
Really? Is that? I didn't know that.
Yeah. They test, like, waterworks to see how much virus appears, and then they're like, use it to predict that a new wave is coming of infections, because the amount goes up in the,
right,
in the wastewater. So, you know, if anything, you're kind of, you know.
Yeah, there's
the grand tradition of 2080 predicting the future.
Yeah. There's a lot of sewage systems around the world that are kind of a result of cholera outbreaks. So disease. And sewers and medicine in the form of robots. We are the cutting edge.
I feel like an intellectual dwarf with my knowledge of the history of sewage next to you two.
The other thing we do is we sort of share stuff on Pinterest a lot, just to bounce ideas off. So we have, you know, several really disgusting boards of Pinterest of parasites and sewer systems.
Yeah, sort of strange news stories involving revolting things, and yeah, you know.
Yeah, my wife's Pinterest is, I think, probably closer to most Pinterests in the, you know, it's a nice decor for the house and art that they might want to put up. And mine is like, ooh, a pool of decaying slime.
yeah, mine's the same. It's basically sort of cars, Warhammer, and vomit.
I got a lot of tapeworms, and tapeworms actually kind of have cheery little faces on them that I think the bits that look like googly eyes are actually some kind of suckers or something, but they do kind of look like they've got this sort of googly eye face.
You're permanently surprised expression.
Yeah, they're fun guys.
So what, I mean, you did, a minute ago you said that the stories as they had turned out weren't really typical intestinal stories in that they're not really doing their job. So what's a typical intestinal story then?
I mean, I think if we were going to do intestinal, the generic mission, it would probably be something close to the Free Comic Book Day one page thing we did, which it's quite a nice one. It I don't know if you saw it, but it kind of had a sort of gut tracked and just sort of charted the course of the mission as it went down into the stomach and through and then out, and then that portion was censored, so child appropriate.
Yeah, that was a fun one. That was, I enjoyed that. I was a bit of, it was quite hard work because there was a lot to fit in. But we did the panels sort of, so they followed the alimentary canal and then into the stomach. So you ended up the panel order going backwards. Yeah. You know, S'd down, which I don't know whether that worked or not, but it was a good idea. It was kind of there.
Yeah, and it was sort of all in the form of an instruction leaflet, which has kind of been a running theme since then, I think. Mm. I don't think the very first one had that, but I think the first one was pretty much a straight comic. Then you did a bunch of sketches that were kind of like theoretical, like, intestinal adverts.
Yeah, that's right. I did like a pill packet and some sort of branding and stuff just because that was kind of fun to do. And then ended up recycling those quite a lot in all of them.
that was kind of before we knew we were coming back to it at all. So some foresight there.
Yes.
Well, did Tharg ask for more, or was it a case of that you enjoyed it and wanted to do more?
I can't remember. Certainly one of them he asked us to do, and he said I would be more than happy to see another one. And I think that was after the second one rather than the first. So that resulted in the symbiotic love triangle story.
Which is probably my favourite to date. But, right. And until we get the new one.
Yeah, I think the current one is always definitely my favourite, just because we talked about it for so long, really. We always wanted to do it.
Yeah.
Set where this one is set.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's been slightly spoiled in the pre-release stuff. So I don't know if we want to leave that as a surprise or not. But
I don't know. I think we can say.
Yeah. So everyone close their ears for spoilers if they're worried about that. But we've kind of got this one as a long, long trek across a fat bug, which
throwback to our sewage conversation earlier. Really.
Yeah, maximum research on disgusting sewage things.
Because 2008's got obviously got form with like robot teams. I don't know. Explain a little bit about how the kind of personalities of these things work, because it's really noticeable that previous robot teams, very kind of fixed faces, but like Mick Mahan and Kevin Neal and all sorts of people were able to, you know, articulate them in certain ways. But with the Intestinauts, you've gone quite kind of, oh, how to describe it? No,
pill-shaped? Pill-shaped?
Well, no, pill-shaped, but in terms of their faces, because
they're almost like emojis, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just like friendly-looking things, I suppose. And I don't like. I also don't like things that are over-designed. So there's sort of deliberately trying to keep the basic silhouette quite simple. But then, you know, if they're going to be pill-shaped, I mean, I've got to do that. Otherwise, how are they going to have any kind of exposed? That's something I still struggle with the bad guys, actually, because they're just completely expressionless. It's got an evil, just an evil face all the time. There's no,
you know, they don't actually do other personalities.
The only way you can make them look surprised is by having them destroyed in a way that sort of breaks their face to look that way.
Yeah, so our bad guys are the BattleBots, and the difference is in Test Notes are good guys that go into people's guts, seek out any kind of bacteria or parasite or weird, intelligent, miniature life form that begs for its life and destroys them, versus the BattleBots who do the exact same thing but are evil. Very important distinction.
With the news story, and the trek across the Fatberg, are we to assume that they have survived the Great Flush, or is this?
Well, yes, I was going to say actually earlier when we were talking about they never seem to have a successful mission. Presumably, because this starts at the Big Flush, presumably they have just finished an entirely by the numbers, you know, clean out.
No, they just don't have a spot to upload that they were expecting to be there, so they have to set out to find it.
I like stories based essentially on Wi-Fi signals and not being able to find one.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'm sorry about it from that point there. Yeah, that's right. It's just, for God's sake, no 4G down here.
No. Oh, it's kind of interesting. Most stories where you've got like a robot character, they kind of have to find reasons why that character doesn't really quite work like anything on a computer does that we use, where you can just sort of copy it or back it up or make new ones. And so like, there's all kinds of reasonings to do that, whereas we just lean right into that.
But Pi, so it was something I was watching. Well, funny enough, I'd gone back to the panels that we did at the 40th anniversary convention in Hammersmith. Mm. One of those was about designing 2000 AD. So it was yourself and Annie Parkhouse and Ryan Hughes,
Ryan Hughes
and Boland, I think it was. And on that, you were talking about how you fell, is not the right word, but kind of moved into graphic design rather than necessarily art. Mm. Because the one thing that has struck me about Intestinal Arts is you've kind of finally reached your kind of boss level form, in that this is that kind of, you know, it's drawing mad vehicles, but doing it in a highly designed kind of, you know, with lots of different features on the page, you know, absolute insanity. So it's kind of like it struck me as the ultimate Piper comic strip.
Okay.
And I guess, you know, what's been your thinking about it? Because the pages look insane. They look like they take, you know, days of work.
Well, yeah, they do. Yeah, I'm currently struggling actually with the colouring, to be honest. So the first part goes to press Wednesday this week. When's this podcast out?
Wednesday this week.
Right, so it goes to press today. I'm sort of, well, I've kind of finished part two, but I'm ignoring one page. Arthur can guess which one it is.
Oh yeah.
It's horrifying. Wow. Yeah, so, you know, it takes me a long time. And I like to fiddle around with the background stuff and spend far too much effort on things that nobody's going to give a shit about. You know, all the adverts in the background and, you know, little logos. You know, just deciding to put a little logo on someone's head that I've then got to redraw 85 times. Or repaste, you know. Yeah.
I mean, we did say when you worked in the office, we did say that you do enjoy making rods for your own back.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think I sort of, you know, part of my process is giving myself rules to stick to for absolutely no reason other than self-hatred, I guess.
I'd say this is my favourite colouring on any of the ones we've done before. It really kind of kind of pushes it to a next level and really pops on the page.
Oh, thanks, mate. I'm quite pleased with it too. We talked quite a bit beforehand, didn't we? Because I'm very aware that it takes, I can draw pretty quickly. You know, I'm quite good at drawing techie bits and bobs. You know, I can draw pistons and gears without really having to think about it. But the colouring always takes me ages. And I said to Arthur, I'd like to kind of simplify it this time and make it more about doing more flat colours and choosing cleverer flat colours as opposed to spending forever shading everything. And I've just done even more shading than normal. I've utterly failed. It looks very nice, but it's taken me like a day per page to colour at the minute, so which is why I'm slightly behind.
Is it always a danger that when you're kind of when your heart's in something?
Oh no, absolutely! Like I love it. I want it to be good, and it would bother me that it wasn't. You know, I know even though it's very silly, the fact that it's sort of it's ours and I genuinely love them makes you want to sort of spend more effort than it might be worth. Maybe objectively.
In terms of the kind of structuring of the story and the characters and things like that, Arthur, what's your starting point? You know, is it, oh, here's a good pun or a good...
Let me see. So the Fatberg, that was one that we almost immediately wanted to do. Hmm. I don't know why that didn't end up being like the second one. I guess I didn't quite have the story that I wanted to do there yet. This one's had a sort of slightly odd route in that at one point I kind of wanted to make it a bit of a line up all the characters and then they fight type story, like the sort of the ABC Warriors style.
It changed a bit.
Everyone gets introduced. But you know, that was an initial pitch that was a bit longer. That kind of came out of the story and actually didn't change the story much at all. So I guess it didn't need to be there at all. But for the longest time, my focus was on this whole extended sequence where it's like, this one's got drill bits, this one's got a plasma cannon or whatever. And this one, you know, specializes in applied cruelty. All that kind of came out and I left, I think, a better formed story in its wake. So that's kind of interesting. It's a negative impression of the story I thought was there. Other ones have just kind of come from random stuff. I mean, some people have implied that the symbiotic love triangle one is an extended piss take based on a Marvel character. That seems unlikely to me, but that kind of came out of just sort of random stuff while watching a movie, I think. And then
I've not seen the if there is a movie that exists of this character that it's not based on, I've not seen that movie.
Yeah.
You informed me that there's a funny bit where he may or may not store the suit in his rectum, which made
luck. It's heavily implied. Just go with it. and then the Infestinauts one, I think that largely came out of if you change one letter, it's kind of fun. That's an exterior mission instead of an interior mission, which is different.
We had quite a funny conversation about that one as well, because there's a bit in the second panel on the first page is the guy applying the soap that contains the Infestinauts. And Arthur was sort of slightly worried about which crevice the hand was sort of scrubbing when I was
Well, you know, they've got to go on a journey from top to bottom.
That's right. If they start where the story ends, then there's no journey. Yeah. There's no hero's journey.
There's some other implications as well, but
the hero's journey.
that's part of it. I'm pretty sure. That's how Star Wars is.
I mean, there are lots of crevices in Star Wars. That is true. There's the whole sequence in the trash compactor. That's quite.
And then eventually they reached the Sarlacc pit. That's
again, you know, all stories are about poop in one way.
Yeah, there's basically a monomyth that comprises all stories, and it's about poop.
Yeah. With something like I said at the beginning, where you're not, where this is a series that's actually been. A piecemeal it sounds like a derogatory term, but you know, you've done bits here and bits there where schedules have lined up and ideas have lined up. It's kind of not evolved necessarily in a linear fashion. Has that provided a bit more flexibility than you would if you had to, you know, plot it out all at the beginning?
I don't know, really. Certainly it makes each one distinctly different because like they're at least a year apart each time, which time the way I've drawn it has changed every time. There's like a really obvious evolution of the artwork, which if you go back and look at the first one, it's shite.
I still like it.
Well, thank you. Okay, not shite then. So it's certainly the drawing has become more sophisticated, shall we say. But like I would have preferred to do more. It's just that, I just don't.
I think there is a thing.
We sat on one for ages. One of actually lockdown got in the way of one. It ended up being delayed by almost sort of 18 months, pretty much, because Arthur did the script and I just didn't have time to do it because my kids are at home. I wasn't working and I was having to jump from job to job to pay the bills instead of actually doing what I wanted to do. And then as soon as we're out of that and that one got printed, I was like, right, come on, let's get on and do another one quickly, which we have. And we're hoping we'll get another one fairly shortly as well. But
yeah, I think there's a thing where if you are waiting a little for each one to come out, you can't really just do a sort of what's Rogue Trooper's mission this week kind of thing with it and sort of gradually escalate things along. You kind of have to...
like searching for the traitor general would basically just be this extent. Like, so we're going to talk about it, sort of laughing about it.
We're going to move 1 inch closer to the traitor general this week.
Just make them really small so they just, you know, we're another lump down the large...
So instead there kind of has to be a bigger escalation each time we do it. It's sort of like it's the new event, so it has to all change in some way. So I guess in a way it kind of makes it harder to come up with new ones because they can't just be a slight twist. They have to really kind of bend it in some new direction. Which I kind of like that though. I mean, if ever these are collected and they kind of look like a singular story that runs end to end, it is going to have some bonkers twists to it.
I mean, you could easily kind of hold up the action if you want to do like a Rogue Trooper thing, just by having a twisted bow.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, just sort of cut to outside the body while the guy goes for surgery.
I only wonder if we will eventually end up doing one that's just sort of like barely the intestinals at all and just sort of exploring some sort of corner of the sort of loosely sketched out spaceport world we have. It might be
fun. The symbiotic love triangle was a little bit like that, in that, you know, they're only in really for the first episode, and then the rest of it's just running around a city, getting into like extended territory,
exploring the macroverse.
Yeah,
there's a long tradition of silly humor strips in 2000 AD, but it's kind of as the audience has. Let's use this word, matured. They've kind of fallen by the way. You know, I'm thinking things like, you know, Ace Trucking, stuff like that. But this just seems like you're having fun.
That's exactly correct. Yeah.
I mean, if it wasn't fun, it wouldn't be worth doing, I think.
I mean, looking to the future, I mean, I think, you know, you mentioned there if stuff is ever collected, is this a series, even though it's kind of each installment is a more explosive than the last, as it were.
each eruption.
Yeah. Is there a final flush?
We did sort of float an idea for a way to sort of finish on there.
Pun intended. Yeah.
Just to pinch things off.
Nice. we kind of, not really a way to end it, but certainly sort of a way to sort of make a complete, I don't know what the word, I don't know how I'm trying to say this.
Intestinals book one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just sort of, that's the end of the bowel stuff. You know, that was. But it wasn't really, it's not, it hasn't really been a proper conversation. It was more me sort of sitting about 11 o'clock at night watching the TV and sending Arthur a text saying, hey, how about this? And he was like, oh, yeah, maybe. Which is how most of these things come about anyway, to be honest.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of application of structure after the fact. Because it's an honourable tradition, you know, the sort of Heinlein books of old, a lot of those were like six short stories that escalated on each other, mashed together. So if we manage something like that, I'll be happy with it. Yeah. Just, you know, comparing ourselves to like one of the grandmasters of science fiction, that's always good.
I mean, hey, if you're writing about little robots that deal with poop, then, you know, you got to go big.
Oh, well, that's it. It's such a silly thing, but you might as well aim high anyway. I mean, the panel that I was talking about taking ages is I specifically sort of asked Arthur to put it in because I wanted to do a sort of a big Mobius kind of landscape, but on a fatberg.
It's epic. It's the Lawrence of Arabia of intestinals panels.
My question about it being fun, is there a direct correlation between having fun and a strip being fun? You know sometimes you can get strips that are trying to be funny and just feel a little labored, but sometimes you look at them and go, actually, this looks like they were having fun, you know?
I hope so. Yeah. You know, like there's no, if everyone thinks it's crap, then that's
taking a direction of like not deliberately trying to make it funny, actually just making really stupid premises and trying to do them as straight as possible. That seems to work out quite well.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, a lot of it, I think, is rather than sort of being always being explicit jokes, there's more about the entire setup is ludicrous in the first place, which is the fun thing about it. I find it's inherently funny. You know, they're wading through shit. Yeah. Well, I hope it is anyway.
Yeah, real sophisticated humour. It's a genteel comedy of manners.
I mean, that would be the temptation for me is to start off in a kind of Jane Austen like situation, and then
we're going to do a Regency romance themed series with intestinals. That is clearly the direction we should be going in with it.
You know, and the intestinals do Bridgerton. I don't understand why this hasn't already happened.
Yeah.